Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your romanticy podcast book club. I'm Anna, joined by my book besties, Kim and Christina. And together we're diving into the characters, theories, lore, and magic behind all your favorite fantasy romance books.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this very special ACOTAR episode where we will be covering Asriel's bonus chapter from A Court of Silver Flames. This episode previously lived over on our Patreon, and we're so excited to bring it over here to main feed as we all start to prep for ACOTAR 6 and 7. And speaking of prepping, you can find the link to all of our ACOTAR, Throne of Glass, and Crescent City episodes and their respective Spotify playlists in the show notes below. And don't forget about our Mass Masterclass happening over on Patreon, where we're bringing all of our SJM PhD knowledge. We're breaking down theories, backstories, and so much more as we all ramp up for this pivotal moment in all of our lives. So without further ado, we hope you enjoy this deep dive into Asriel's bonus chapter.
Okay. Let's get to what we're really here for, because
I'm so excited,
you guys.
All right, so we are obviously here discussing Asriel's bonus chapter from the end of A Court of Silver Flames, but this was specifically in the Books a Million special edition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's set the scene. This chapter takes place the night of winter solstice, the same winter solstice that's in Akasoth, where Cassian gives Nesta the Symphonia and they have their beautiful professing their love. It's great. The mating bond clicks into place, although they don't acknowledge it.
Yep.
Yep. Big night.
The night before, the Bat Boys have their big snowball fight. The party's over. Everyone's retired to their rooms. And it's just Asriel walking around being his little sexy shadow singer self.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Kim, will you kick us off?
You know, I will. But I need to gain some clarity on the opening of this situation, okay? And mm-hmm. I need you to weigh in. And is it my type A OCD or is this what families do? So Asriel's walking around mm-hmm. in the main area that they were all exchanging presents in.
Yeah.
Number one, he notes that everyone just left their piles of presents in the room.
I knew this would bother you.
Amidst wrapping paper. You're telling me Reese was not the garbage bag dad? He did not have the bag picking up the pieces? And then everyone goes, okay, great fun, everybody. And then just nobody picked up a single present to, like, I don't know, go put it away in the correct. They were just like, well, goodbye.
Leave it.
What do you mean no one picked up any wrapping paper? Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
I'm refolding tissue paper to use next year.
Yes, of course.
Like, if it's not torn up and, like, wrinkly, I'm like, that's a nice piece. We'll save that one.
Yeah, my mom saves all her bows because she spends so much time making them.
Yes, all the bows.
Yes. No, this is, Kim, you are in the right.
Thank you.
Strange behavior.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
So regardless, Asriel's there. He doesn't want to go upstairs because he's feeling a lot of feelings, as our sweet boy does, and keeps them inside. And Elaine tiptoes down the stairs because she wants to put Asriel's present from her in the family room with all the other gifts that are just sitting there.
In the piles.
Amidst the wrapping paper, but it's fine. So Asriel opens it and they're earplugged so that he doesn't have to listen to Cassian and Nesta just going to Pound Town 16 times a day.
Fucking love it, which they probably do.
They definitely do.
This was hilarious. I love it.
This was so cute. And Elaine gives him such thoughtful gifts. If you remember last winter solstice, she gave him the headache powder that he then says he just puts it on his bedside table and stares at it and doesn't use it. And I'm like, all right, Asriel,
why?
That's weird behavior. Like,
you could keep the jar as a memento if you want.
It's bizarre.
I bet it's refillable. I bet it's eco-friendly. You could refill it.
It's not even like something special. It's just a headache powder.
But it's from Elaine. It's from Elaine. Okay, so she gives him the earplugs and he loves it, whatever. And then he has a gift for Elaine, which is a beautiful, dainty necklace with a small rose charm made from stained glass. This is beautiful. This is the epitome of Elaine. You know, like, it's very delicate.
Yes.
And when you hold it up to the light, it shines through. Gorgeous. So he's talking about why he couldn't give it to her earlier. And he says because her mate had been in the family room and Asriel had needed to stay by the door the whole time because he couldn't stand the sight of it, the scent of their mating bond, and needed to have the option of leaving if it became too much.
Wow. This is where we are with them, the whole trio.
So number one, scent of her mating bond for everybody that's like, Elaine and Lucien aren't really mate. I think they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
I, th- think they are.
I think they are. I did read a very interesting theory recently, a few times in different places. There's chitter chatter that maybe there are two different kinds of mating bonds. There is mother-blessed mating bond and cauldron-blessed mating bond. And therefore, the cauldron mating bonds are ones that they're actually not really supposed to be together, like Reese's parents. It's just like for logistics for having babies. They're powerful. But the mother-blessed mating bonds are you're actually in love, like Reese and Feyre and like Nesta and Cassian. And the thought is that the cauldron-blessed mating bond with Lucien and Elaine, we know happened the second she got out of that cauldron. Like, that is a cauldron mating
bond. True, true.
Now, that being said, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just some people are then saying maybe she has two mates and she has a mother-blessed mating bond with Azriel. I don't think so. I think you'd have one or the other. But I think it's interesting to think maybe there are different kinds.
Maybe.
Because really, it is messy that some of them are love and you're in love with each other. Some of them are bad matches. Like, it just doesn't really
I agree. I absolutely agree. Yeah. Okay, so he gives her the necklace, whatever, and she's like, put it on me. Just like that.
I love this.
She's breathy and just like doe-eyed, looking up.
Her eyes are huge and you can barely hear her. She's put it on me.
Just so delicate.
And it's the most delicate, fragile flower that Azriel's ever wanted. It's everything.
Absolutely.
He's ever wanted.
Yeah. I will say, guys, the sexual tension is delicious
it is
in
hot.
This scene. It is hot.
The chemistry.
It is really good.
I would argue that Azriel could have chemistry with a brick wall.
Like, he's like Jonathan Bailey. I agree with you. Like,
yes. But we can't deny it exists, though.
No.
And it is really forbidden. Mm. We're in a historical romance.
Little naughty
moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Elaine, I will move on, but if you have watched Bridgerton, Francesca Bridgerton, the actress that plays her, is the ideal Elaine Archer on cast.
I agree.
If you go look up Francesca Bridgerton, so Elaine, the delicate, like just the most gorgeous flower ever. Okay, so that's who we're picturing for Elaine. Okay, and it's, God damn it, Anna.
Sorry.
9:50 in the morning. Okay. I've only had one cup of coffee. Here we go. Okay.
God, I love when it's not me.
And I was like, I'll switch it up and give it to Kim today. Give Christina a little break.
You gotta do it.
Okay, this is interesting though. So I'm going to read it and then we're going to dissect some of this.
Got it.
Here, okay? So he's putting the necklace on. Azriel's fingers lingered at her nape atop the first knob of her spine. Slowly, Elaine pivoted into his touch until his palm lay flat against her neck. It had never gone this far. They'd exchanged looks, the occasional brush of their fingers, but never this. Never blatant, unrestricted touching. Wrong. It was so wrong. He didn't care. God, I love that.
Wow. Why is it wrong if it feels so right?
So right. Okay, I'm going to read this just because I need this book like I need air to breathe, because if this is what we're working with from Azriel.
Right. Okay, go.
Give it to us.
Nobody look at me. Just look away. Okay. He didn't care. He needed to know what the skin of her neck tasted like, what those perfect lips tasted like, her breast, her sex. I don't like when people refer to, I just don't like that. But anyways, he needed her coming on his tongue.
Sir,
I would like to read that.
book.
I would really like to read that.
Wow, the tease, Sarah. This is his inner monologue, guys. This is just free flowing in his brain.
Exactly.
You
yes.
know?
Like on a casual evening.
He is so sexually frustrated. Literally, he's like, the parts of me are tight and wound up. Like at one point.
This was so
hot.
Wow, there's a lot here. Also, the forbidden, it's wrong. Ooh. It's so wrong.
I do love that aspect.
Oh, I love it.
I think it's fun. I do. I think where we teeter-totter into not great is when it's wrong because of Azriel's self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Not it's wrong because it's forbidden, but that's a fine line to walk.
I agree.
Sure, and we don't know because he's not explicitly stating why it's wrong.
I mean, I think it's Lucien in general. Like, she has a mate.
Yes, absolutely.
But also, I do have to note that, like, it's never gone this far. We've never touched. I've never been this close to her. Granted, it is an intimate moment because we can hear his thoughts, but all he's doing is putting a necklace on.
That's it.
Like, this is the level of touching, and the fact that it's like, oh God.
He literally has his hand on her neck and he instantly goes to, I need her coming on my tongue. Okay.
Hold on.
Right.
Whoa. I skipped a few steps, sir.
I mean, I love it.
It's simultaneously the slowest burn and also too fast.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand.
He's like no brakes. He's like, no, you know what I mean?
Because it's been years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So let's move forward. Now, we're going to talk about Elriel because we wouldn't be doing our job.
Yeah.
And there are absolutely signs that Elriel could be a thing. The best argument, we think, for Elriel is back in Akawar when no one knows what's wrong with Elaine. If you remember, Madra, the head of the healers, says that if anyone was going to be able to figure out what was wrong with her, it would be her mate.
Right.
So they put Elaine and Lucien in a room together. He can't figure it out.
God, no, he can't. God, he's a dum-dum.
You know, just, that's not what he's here for. And then Azriel walks in and basically immediately goes, oh, she's a seer.
Yeah.
And so people think that this is proof that Azriel is her real mate, not Lucien, and that the cauldron either made a mistake or the mating bond was fabricated, which Azriel does also, in his delusional mind, think the cauldron made a mistake.
Made a mistake, yeah.
Feyre also questions it, too, at some point, Therese.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, okay, that is a thing. But I just think, I don't know how to say this without being, I love Sarah. I don't think she's doing that much. I think she's pretty straightforward in a lot of stuff.
I would agree. I think, like, well, no spoilers for other series, but she has been pretty explicit about, like, I told you what they were. Why didn't you just take it at face value? And then people run away with their own theories. And she's
absolutely.
Like, no, I literally said that they're mates.
Yeah.
And she said about other books that she's written. Like, it's not that.
No.
Guys, it's canon.
And, like, listen, we love to go down a rabbit hole and be crazy. But when it comes to, I just think Sarah's not going to do that much. Like, she's going to just keep it pretty, what you see is what you get. So I don't think they made a mistake. Now, does that mean Elaine has to accept the Baney bond? Absolutely not. No.
Right.
We've said we actually think it would be very interesting to see a mating bond not accepted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't know where she goes from there, but.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at this point that we have had too much buildup with Elriel to not do something. I think we're going to see them together. I think at this point, like, having all of this, it's not going to be like, well, never mind. That's never going to happen.
Sure.
I think we're going to see it. I just don't think it's endgame.
Yeah.
Okay? I think it's what he needs in the moment to get him to Gwen and what she needs to, like, understand that she really wants Lucien or where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're going to get this next book and just ignore it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
so to the whole argument that Azriel's the one that figured out she was a seer, he's a shadow singer. He's incredibly intuitive. His shadows whisper and talk to him. I think that played a part into it. I don't necessarily think it's because he's her mate. I think that's just part of his skill set.
Yeah.
He's observant.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So
Lucien is not known for that.
He's not. And you guys, not everybody can be. We all have different strengths, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we just, everybody has their own things going on. So
yeah.
Obviously, Azriel has these feelings. I just need to know. Christina did a fantastic job deep diving this in her Gwenreal cauldron chat that you must go watch.
It's so good.
But just a note, talking about Azriel's shadows around Elaine, Elaine sucked in a soft breath that whispered over his skin. His shadow skittered back at the sound. They'd always been prone to vanish when she was around.
I want everyone to remember that quote because we're going to read a direct parallel when we get to Gwen.
Pin it.
But I also want to say, too, just really quickly on Elriel about, like, the language used in this part directly relating to Azriel's self-worth is so, at times, actually hard to read. Mm-hmm. He says things like, Az tried not to look at his scarred fingers as they took the gift.
Yeah.
Like, he's noting how his scars can't be around her because she's too precious. And, like, he says, sliding the necklace around her, letting his scarred fingers touch her immaculate skin. Like, the self-worth there and the self-hatred of his own scars and, like, his battles. And then she looked up at him, her face so trusting and hopeful and open that he knew that she had no idea he had done unspeakable things and had sullied his hands far beyond their scars. Such terrible things that it was sacrilege for his fingers to touch her skin, tainting her with his presence. Like, sacrilege and tainting her with his presence is not language that is healthy to think about a romantic partner and touching them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how we get past that.
I agree. And it's not that, like, there are books where we've read where the male or the female character feels so unworthy and all of that. But there is an equal footing about them, and there's, it's more over the course of, like, three books that we see this come about. And so far, the way Sarah has been doing these spinoffs, it's, you get a, Cassie and Nesta get a book, Azriel and Elaine, or Elaine and Lucien, or whatever, are going to get a book. So I feel like that's good. I mean, not to say that you can't, I mean, look at frickin' Nesta's journey, but I do think that, to your point, it's, like, really hard. Those words are so hard to come back from. And then you take also the way that he looks at her, Christina, you and I talked about in Akafast, with, like, the pitying, how he looks at her with pity, not with this longing, loving. It's more, I feel like, a sense of, like, obligation, like a sense of, like, wanting to protect.
And I would say he's very protective over
Elaine. He is, but it feels like it's, I feel like we said this before, I feel like he sees his mother. and he couldn't save or protect his mother in the way that he wanted to as a boy. So I feel like he sees Elaine as this like little perfect flower that he wants to preserve. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy.
Well, yeah, you can't put someone on a pedestal like that. That's no. not.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of this, like, you know, him tainting her with his presence and all this stuff. Like, I think if nothing else, this is just setting up and building up the dynamic that he feels so unworthy. And that is a through line for all the Bat Boys.
Yeah.
But this feels like a different kind of unworthy.
Yes.
That he is putting on this relationship already.
Yes.
Before they're even together.
Great point. Okay, so they almost kiss. This moment is really hot. Like, she says, like,
it's so hot.
She's like, yes. And he, like, puts his hands in her hair and she closes her eyes and they're about to kiss. And I honestly was like, kiss. Please kiss.
Just
like,
do it.
Kiss.
We are all sexually frustrated.
Like, I was like, I was into this.
I was too.
I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see them together in some way.
But not in this scene, because Daddy Reese is there and he's in Azriel's head, like, Azriel, and Azriel looks up over Elaine's shoulder, and Reese is standing there, like, so pissed, and basically is like,
"Oh, he's there?
Yeah,
yeah."
Oh, I thought he was just in his head. Okay, got it.
He like gets his attention in his head, and then he looks up, and Reese is there, and is like, "Come to my office," and then disappears.
Yeah.
So Azriel steps back, and he's like, "I'm sorry, this was a mistake." She obviously gets really embarrassed. Oof. She's like, "I'm sorry." Yeah. He's like, "No, God, don't ever be sorry. Like, don't apologize. You perfect angel who could never do anything wrong.
You perfect flower."
And then he goes up and meets with Reese and Christina. Please, unfortunately, walk us through this scene.
I have such hot takes on this scene. I'm going to save them to the end because, and I know you also have some. So we'll get through what happens first. Okay. So Reese-Ann calls Azriel to his office like he is the principal. And he is so mad. And I get it. He, like, there's politics involved. There's optics. Like, you know, he hates the optics of what Azriel's doing here. But then what Azriel pretty much says back is like, well, but isn't it fair? Like, why don't you think that this is fair, that I also deserve this? He says, this is Azriel. The cauldron chose three sisters. Tell me how it's possible that my two brothers are with two other sisters, yet the third was given to another. Also in his head, he had never dared speak these words out loud.
Yeah.
Reese's face drained of color. You believe you deserve to be her mate? This is hard for me on a few levels. One, I do think this comes across from Reese a little like, you think you deserve this, which is hard to read because Azriel's feeling unworthy. Don't think Reese would ever say this to him or be this disrespectful to him and his feelings, but fine. And that's also a whole other thing where then it's like, Azriel, this is a little like throwing a tantrum. I get one too. Like, what about me?
Yeah.
That's how I felt reading this. So the first time I read it, I remember being like, what the fuck, Reese-Ann? Like, how could you say that to Azriel? And then this time I read it with the second tone that you did, which is you feel like you deserve to be her mate, like a question, because it's a question. And I took that as like him being like, well, why do you think you deserve it and not Lucien? Obviously we love you, Azriel, but the cauldron chose Lucien for a reason. Like, Feyre was chosen to be my mate for a reason. And I think he leans into that, like, Feyre was supposed to be my mate. Nesta and Cassian are mated together. Like, clearly they all believe in the cauldron and the mother and whatever
they do.
But this line from Azriel being like, tell me how it's possible that my two brothers are with two of those sisters, yet the third was given to another. And it does, like you said, it feels a little bit like a tantrum, but it also, I feel like, which is going to be something that we explore with his insecurities, which is, why am I not chosen? Why am I left? Why do I have to watch my two best friends be so happy and in love? Amryn fucking has somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Well, and I think it also, this leads up to, again, putting Elaine on a pedestal. This, like, the Archeron sisters are the goal. They are the end all be all. And this Archeron sister, like, just, it fits. Like, he doesn't understand.
He's like, one, two, three. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why don't these go together? It's math.
And you know what? That is a reason also why I feel like it would be too easy. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, Sarah's doing something else with this story. And it isn't that one, two, three. It's too easy, you know?
One other thing also, think about the 500 years he was pining for more. He's like, can I not just win
one
just
thing?
Once. Like, give me one.
Give me one.
I did also find it fascinating that in this scene, Reese brings up more. He said, what about more?
Okay, see, the thing that really bugs me the most is when Reese-Ann's like, what about more? And I'm like, no, I don't like that, because that's not fair. Everybody knows that more has been leading Azriel on for 500 years. And I think that's shitty behavior.
Yes.
And that is not Azriel's fault that more will not
just say, I don't love you that way.
Just say, I don't want to be. And everybody But he knows it because obviously if she wanted to be with him, she would be with him.
Yes.
So I'm like, no, Roseanne, yeah. that's not fair. That's yeah. not Asriel's
and
fault.
And that's, it feels emotionally manipulative.
Yes.
I agree 100%.
Like, oh, what about more? What about more?
What about
what
more?
About her?
Great. Thank you for throwing that in my face. I pined after somebody for 500 years.
And he basically and like, I still didn't get her.
Right.
Like, thank you. And I'm
maybe,
alone.
Maybe he's like, well, yeah. And you know what? And I never made a move and I never tried to make anything happen with her. And I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Like at least yeah. if Elaine doesn't True. Want me, then I will know that I at least put myself out there for her like I didn't do with Moore.
Yes.
And I think that's totally fair.
Yes.
And I don't like that Rhys brought that up. Like, they're nothing. Him and Moore have never been anything. So, like, how no, dare you bring that
literally
up?
Literally nothing physical has happened.
Nothing.
Like, only so, with Cassian.
But, like, shut up, Rhys.
Yeah.
That bugged me. I yeah. didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's it. Club.
So, yeah. So take that.
Take that. We all did this like... Oh, God, okay, okay.
God, sorry.
So, yeah, Rhys essentially forbids Asriel from going after Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
And his concern is Lucien. And his concern is that Lucien's going to call in the blood duel. There is no way we did not bring up the blood duel on purpose.
Agreed.
The blood duel is coming back. It is going to be important. I don't think it's going to be Lucien and Asriel. I think it's actually going to be Aerys and Baron. I think that's how we're going to get rid of Baron.
Ooh.
I would love that. Or Helion and Baron.
Yes. Oh, yes. I go into this in depth in my Cauldron chat on Helion and the Aldham Court.
Yes,
that
yes,
That is
yes.
like, I just want it to happen because I want it to be Helion being like the love of my life and
that's right.
fucking him up.
Yes.
What if they both die? If Helion and Baron fight and they both die and then Lucien becomes the head of the... Day court. And then it's like at the same Aerys. Time, it goes to both of them and they realize that's how Lucien finds out.
Wait, just like with Rhysand and Tamlin. Remember at the same exact yes. time, it goes to both of them?
History repeats itself.
That's right. It does.
Life
oh, cannon. The mother. I just want Lucien to get some happiness in his life.
No.
I want him to like experience Helion.
It's for the plot.
Adam, give him something. I feel like we're going to need his spell-cleaving powers to free Vasa. I think that's going to be very important. So he's going to have to understand he has spell-cleaving powers for that to happen.
Oh,
so,
that's a good point.
You know, like, it's going to have to happen. The question is Helion going to be dead for this learning situation? Or is he going to be alive and be like, let me show you the ways?
I want him to be alive. I agree, Christina.
I want him to be alive, too.
I want Helion and Lucien to be able to have some kind of a relationship because Lucien just knows that Baron has a father who's like the biggest piece of shit in the entire world.
I just feel like Lucien deserves it. Also, the Lady of the Autumn Court deserves some happiness.
You know what? She does.
Listen, that woman has been put through hell.
She has.
Yeah.
That's what I want more than anything. Like, Lucien, fine. But I really want the Lady of the Autumn Court to have some happiness in this life.
Yeah.
She deserves it. Again, and the Lady of the Autumn Court, Helion thinks she like chose to stay there, which she did. She made the choice to stay there. I still think there's something there with the Autumn Court magic. Somehow Baron touched her physically the way that Aerys didn't touch Moore to tie her there.
Yeah.
It was definitely her choice to go back after she had children.
Yes.
But I think that the initial choice to do this, the Lady of the Autumn Court, she almost didn't take this pairing with Baron because of someone she met at a ball, Helion.
You're right.
I think something happened there within the choice was taken from her where she was in some form touched after an arrangement was made.
I see.
But let's talk about Rhys in this scene. What do we think about Rhys in this bonus chapter?
So, like I said, I think the first time I read it, I was just like, ugh. God, it felt like he was wearing a Horcrux. We've all said that. We felt like he was wearing a Horcrux through a lot of Akasoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like what he said about Moore. I agree with you, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I feel like him being so concerned about not just the optics, but what it could mean for the future of Prithian when they are in such a tumultuous time after a war.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have another big bad, Koschei, like on the horizon.
Yeah.
I feel like it is within his character because we've seen Rhysand be the High Lord before, but not in the way that he speaks to his inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
But he is still a High Lord.
Yeah.
And he still does have to maintain order. And he's not just responsible for the happiness of his inner circle, but for the safety of his entire court.
Yeah.
And so I think when he says, I don't think you've looked at this from all angles.
Mm.
If you touch her in the way that makes Lucien be able to scent you on her in a sexual way, do you not understand what that will do?
The repercussions
and
of that.
The repercussions. And Sarah has already set the stage and like laid the groundwork that the mating bond, the way that the males act in particular is very archaic and cavemanish. Mm-hmm. We've already set that groundwork. So like it would track that even though Elaine has not officially accepted the mating bond. Lucien, I think he's an honorable male, but it could...
like trigger him in a way.
It could be trigger him in a way that like is not exactly necessarily within his control.
Like a logical, rational response.
Like a logical, rational response. So I don't like that he forbid him, and I don't like that. I don't like that language, but I think his concern and anger...
is like fear.
Is fear, and especially because his mate's pregnant. All of those things that go back to that kind of like primal way the Fae are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understand his reasoning behind it. I just don't like the way it was delivered.
Ooh, 100% agree.
I totally agree. And I think that is what makes me so riled up in this scene is how it's delivered.
Yeah.
I think that's what I can't get past. Mm-hmm. Like, if he had said, Asriel, I feel like you're not looking at this from all angles. Let's talk about how this could be primal and hard for Lucien. He didn't say that. What he said is this quote in particular, I can't get past this quote. If you need to fuck someone, go to a pleasure hall and pay for it, but stay away from her. Asriel snarls. And Rhysand says, snarl all you want. He leans back in his chair and says, but if I see you panting after her again, I'll make you regret it.
Yeah. I don't like that.
That is so out of character. Like, there is never a scenario where I think he would speak to his brothers and say, I'll make you regret it in this way.
Yeah.
I think it's disrespectful to Asriel. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. There's no scenario where I feel like he would disrespect Asriel when Asriel is talking about his feelings about someone too. This through line of unworthiness for all of them, like he recognizes that in him. And he also, Rhysand wanted to be with Pharaoh and she was with someone else. Like, I just think there's so many reasons why he would have been more respectful to his brother, who is his equal in this way, in this moment. Mm-hmm. And Asriel calls it out too. It says, quote, it stunned Asriel enough that Rhys pulled rank, because Rhys never pulls rank.
Yeah.
It stunned Asriel enough that it knocked him from his rage. And then Rhysand says, get out. Like,
yeah, that's tough.
It's also like, give your brother, essentially, the benefit of the doubt.
He is
one of the most honorable male. You've said so yourself. You've been telling everybody repeatedly how incredible your inner circle is. And to not afford him the benefit here, show him a little grace. You can be angry, you can be like, what the hell, you can, like, you know, talk to him like a friend and be like, what the hell are you thinking, dude, without throwing things in his face.
Like, that's the relationship we've set up for years.
Yes,
is that respect and equalness.
And
that this is the first time I remember Rhys acting like this to any of them.
I agree, like, Christina. No, it's very dismissive. It's very disrespectful. It's very condescending.
Like, this is how Tamlin would speak to Lucien.
Yes. Absolutely. This was giving very Tamlin. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a moment when Feyre acts like Tamlin too, and Amarin calls her out on it, and Mor is like, hey, don't say that. And Feyre was like, no, you're right. I am being like Tamlin. So I agree. I think it's very disrespectful. I think there are aspects of it that I do understand. And I think that Rhysand, like other characters in Sarah's books, when you're the leader, sometimes you gotta do some things.
War times, but I
do agree that the language is out of line and out of bounds. Like, I'll make you regret it, and the get out, that's unnecessary.
And like, snarl all you want. If I see you panting after her, like,
yeah, that's gross. He panted after Feyre. Like, shut up. Yeah. You're not better than Asriel.
Also, can you imagine at any point in Akamath while Feyre and Rhysand were together, Cassian and Asriel being like, do you know how bad this looks? She's with the High Lord of Spring.
Yes.
They all blindly supported him. The trust is earned. That's the point. They didn't blindly support him. They support him because they know him. They know his character. They know what his driving focus is. Mm. They know that he would never, like, hurt anybody without cause or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, give that back.
It is so unlike him to enforce rank. And that is what we have built for so many years with them, that this feels so weird and jarring.
I agree.
And I think the reason I was so riled up about it probably is because we're coming off of Silver Flames.
100% agree, Christina. And I'm with you. Going from Akasoff into this is a rough time for us Rhysand fans.
Exactly.
In general,
it's not fun.
But you know what we do like?
We do love
Gwyn.
Let's get to Gwyn.
Our girl.
So after the meeting with Rhysand, Asriel flies up to the training ring at the House of Wind, planning to burn off some steam, sexual tension, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
But Gwyn is there practicing trying to cut the ribbon. He apologizes for interrupting her, and they have just this cute little back and forth. And listeners, again, we're going to walk through this, but Christina's cauldron chat on Gwynreal, her PhD level thesis, is amazing. Please go watch it if you really, really want to get into like a lot of details about Gwyn and mm-hmm, why we ship mm-hmm. her with Azriel. But yes. So I want to note a few things that Azriel's shadows do. And there's a couple more that we'll get to as we keep going. But the first few things that we notice is they don't warn him that Gwyn is training. So he just shows up and he's like shocked that she's there. He's the shadow singer. Mm-hmm. His shadows are always talking to
always
him.
Always singing to him.
It's almost like they wanted him to be there.
Oh.
So the shadows don't warn him that Gwyn is there practicing. His shadows, when they do see Gwyn, peek over his wings.
Y'all.
Which I think is adorable.
The cutest visual I've ever seen.
I don't know how we make them feel like sentient beings because it's shadows.
Right.
But I just need there to be like a cute little like face and like little hands and they're just like looking over.
And it's also important to note that they are sentient beings to Azriel.
Yes.
He talks about how they keep him company, about how they're trying to like remind him to sleep, about how like they are his like buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are curious and want to know Gwyn and want to see Gwyn.
And they want to know more about her.
And he notes that Gwyn is curious about them. Like mm-hmm. she thinks they're great. She's also looking at them. She's not scared of them.
No, she's That's not right. scared of them.
No, she's not.
So we get this quote in the beginning when he sees her, which goes back to the quote that Kim said earlier yes. and is a direct comparison with the breath and the way Elaine breathes out and the way that his shadows do not embrace her breath, but That's hide.
The hide.
They hide.
Skitter.
Yeah.
But this is what they do with Gwyn. Her breath curled in front of her mouth and one of his shadows darted out to dance with it before twirling back to him like it heard some silent music.
Case closed, yep. Your Honor. That's yep. all I need to hear. Thank you.
But I love that they, like, again, the peeking and then the, like,
so freaking cute.
Dancing. So cute.
I also, we know Sarah and we know her writing. And why would she put these two almost identical parallel moments of breath and the interaction with his shadows in the same tiny chapter? Why?
She does it two different times, which we'll get to when Kim gets to the library. She does it again.
Yes.
There's two direct comparison quotes here.
But isn't that interesting, though? Mm-hmm. I just think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's on purpose, 100%.
Thank you. Yes.
Sarah doesn't do anything not for a
That's
reason.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so we do get this cute little banter.
Oh, I freaking love
which
this.
I absolutely thought was adorable.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, why are you here? And he goes, oh, I forgot something. He reminded her. She's like, at 2 a.m? Pure amusement glittered in her stare, better than the pain and grief he'd spied a moment before. So he offered her a crooked smile. I can't sleep without my favorite dagger. And then she just responds, a comfort to every growing child.
Y'all!
The banter!
This is so freaking cute.
It's
I love
so
that
adorable.
She gets tar and banter with him, and she's so lighthearted and, like, fun with him, and it's not so serious.
Also, he's fun. Yeah. He's not like, it's wrong, I'm wrong, my scarred hands. He's like bantering and jabbing and being charming. Yeah. And like, he's lighter.
He's lighter.
He's having fun.
And it's almost like he's not worrying about what his hands look like. He's not worrying about the trauma. He's just enjoying her company, which is what you want. He shouldn't be insecure.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
He's great.
Because she's his equal.
Yes.
And it's like, it's so well done getting to see this juxtaposition of his demeanor
mm-hmm.
and how... We saw no silliness in Elriel. Like, I mean, granted, we saw lust and we saw, like,
passion.
You know, I want you to,
and yeah.
Do you want to do things with my tongue?
Yeah.
But we didn't see, oh, I noticed that this happened with her face and I want to see that crooked smile. And so I did this and I said this. Like, the little sweet lightness. We didn't see that.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So Azriel ends up helping Gwyn with her sword technique while she's practicing cutting the ribbon. So cute. When they're done, he turns to leave. And here's another shadow moment. I just love it. Azriel dipped his head in a sketch of a bow, something restless settling in him. Even his shadows had calmed, as if content to lounge on his shoulders and watch. The way they're obsessed with Gwyn makes me
they
so
love her.
Happy.
The shadows love her.
I can't.
He's settled. He doesn't feel restless. He feels at peace.
Yeah.
Something restless settled in him. I mean, what? Come on. What do you
also,
mean?
I do have to let you guys know that I did look up settle in every other book to see if it's referenced to mating bonds.
Is it?
No, it's not. That specific word isn't. But when they all mate and the mating bond is accepted, music is tied into a lot of it. Like it was a song to a melody or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And with all the music references with Gwyn and the way she's like, do you sing? He's like, yes, I sing.
Yes.
And the way that his shadows dance with her breath and all of that. It's just, and the fact that he settles all of the other mating bonds, there is a sense of like peace and calmness and rightness.
Yeah.
Rightness, you say? So not wrong. It felt so wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Just circling back to that for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Okay, also, before we move on, I just have to note this. So a few quotes from Akimov and Akasov in regards to how SJM writes mated characters reacting to a threat to their mate.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So in Akimov, when Rhysand is injured by the poisoned ash arrows before she goes to the Suriel, this is what is in Feyre's inner monologue. Rhys was hurt. They had hurt him, targeted him, and now it was not hot anger that poured through me, but something ancient and frozen and so vicious that it honed my focus into razor sharpness.
Mm.
Now here's this from Rhysand in his, when he gives his big monologue in chapter 54.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, and when you were gone, I found those three picks from the beginning of ACOTAR.
Right.
I broke into their minds, reshaping their lives, their histories, and dragged them before Amarantha. I made them confess to conspiring to find other rebels that night. And then he goes, I watched her carve them up while they were still alive, protesting their innocence. I enjoyed it because I knew what they had wanted to do to you. Cassian, in Akasoth, Nesta hasn't even been hurt yet. The threat alone, the imaginative threat that he has that Koschei or Brylin could hurt her, he says, Cassian tried to think over the bellowing beast in his head that tightened every muscle of his body until only bloody violence would appease it. Lucian has to, like, calm him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also a moment where Rhys with the bird people.
Right. In the library. Yeah. The ravens.
The ravens. Thank you.
He goes down and he destroys them. Like, there's nothing left. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to note, this is the first time we get Azriel's POV.
Right.
So all of those instances are either their POV or them directly explaining what they did when their mate was threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from Cassian talking to Nesta. He talks about Gwyn and when Gwyn was rescued from Sangreval. And we know, obviously, at the end of the Akasoth, the horror, the absolute disgusting, horrible things that were done to Gwyn. And Azriel's the first one there,
yep,
before more.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says is Azriel was the one who made it out there first, and he killed any of the Highburn soldiers left. Azriel, who is known for his precision, Cassian has said that Azriel knows every single way to hurt a person without actually killing them. Every other situation, Azriel brings in a witness to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
He walks in there, he sees Gwyn bloodied, bruised, and he kills every single soldier. There's not one left alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's not his POV. We're just getting a little throwaway comment. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
I love that. I love that, Ada. I totally agree.
Yeah.
What are y'all's thoughts on Azriel and Gwyn being mates? Do you think they need to be mates for them to have their storyline?
I don't really want them to be mates.
So I agree. I would enjoy them not being mates. I think, like, you get a mate and you get a mate.
Yeah,
like,
everyone's getting a mate.
It's a lot. It feels like a lot.
I worry that the fandom will not take them seriously as endgame unless they're mates.
I agree. I think there would always be this.
Well, but they're not mates.
They're not mates.
Right.
So there's like, I feel like there would, and to be fair, in a world where you get a mate, you get a mate.
Right.
It's not rare.
So my fear is that there's always this chance Azriel could find a mate. Gwyn could find a mate in the future. And that has happened. They talk about that in the past, that that's happened before.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Because my first instinct was like, I don't need them to be mates. I like that they are choosing each other. But
yes,
the fandom has proven that even choosing each other on top of being actual mates isn't enough.
That's not enough.
It is such a hot button item that unless we are like signed, sealed, delivered, this is the context and the canon reason, there's always going to be people arguing.
There's always going to be people arguing,
Yeah, no,
so,
I agree.
Anyways.
I mean, the other argument for them being together is the whole thing about Feyre giving birth to an Illyrian baby is the fact that her anatomy cannot birth an Illyrian baby.
Mm.
Like, she can't do it. And we know that Nesta changes her anatomy to be able to have Cassian's kids in the future if they want to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
And that if Feyre and Rhysand want to have kids again, that they can do that. She doesn't mention Elaine, though. Not that you have to have children.
No!
Right.
But
I do think that would have been strange.
It would have
been
to
just
very weird.
Be like, oh, also Elaine, P.S. I did you just in case.
Yeah. Well, then that goes against consent of people's bodies.
100%. I don't think she should have.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting that Gwyn has this toss away comment of, my bones are slightly more pliant than an ordinary high fae. But who cares about that?
I do. I care. We care very much.
I could have taken that as just a hint to her river nymph heritage, except that Sarah had her say, but who cares about that?
But who cares
something
about that?
Something about the who cares about that makes it like, okay, this feels important.
Like Sarah's breaking the fourth wall and being like, nobody's going to pick up on that, right?
But who cares about that?
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So wrapping this part up, as Azriel's leaving the training ring, this is what Sarah writes. Azriel entered the warmth of the stairwell, and as he descended, he could have sworn a faint, beautiful singing followed him. Could have sworn his shadows sang in answer.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Okay. Christina discussed the importance of singing and music and how it ties beautifully in with Gwen and Azra's relationship in her Coltrane chat. And she's got a little light singer theory coming later. But mostly we just want to note again how Azrael's shadows act just so joyful around Gwen.
Yes.
Okay, Kim, will you just walk us through quickly this last part in the library?
Okay, so it is the next day. Azrael had the snowball fight, but he finds Elaine's necklace in his pile of gifts that's still there. It's fine. And so we can assume that she returned the gift because she was embarrassed because he moved away from her and acted like he didn't want to kiss her.
Right.
So then Azrael is upset and he finds himself in the library. He doesn't really know why or how.
He's like, why
am I going here? But he just finds himself in the library. And he gives Clotho the necklace and tells her to give it to Gwen, but to not say that it was from him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Messy.
Oh, God. This is coming back, y'all.
This is coming back to bite us.
100%. Gwen is going to be wearing the necklace. Elaine is going to see it. There's going to be drama.
It's so messy. It's such a stupid boy thing.
Yeah. It is. Like, go return it and get Gwen something else. That doesn't even fit Gwen to me. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, if I was Gwen, I'd be like, thanks so much.
Like, you couldn't even give this to me yourself?
Yeah.
It's strange. Again, I do think it's important that we're setting up. This is going to be a love triangle. That's what we're doing.
A love triangle. 100%.
Elreal, here's a moment of Elreal. Here's the problem with Elreal. Here's a moment with Gwenreal. Here's going to be a moment that's coming back.
You're so right,
like
Christina.
You know, pieces.
It's all lining up. She's setting it up.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. So Clotho says she deserves something as beautiful as this. I thank you for the joy it shall bring to her. And then in Azrael's POV, it says something sparked in Azrael's chest, but he only nodded his thanks and left. He could picture it, though, as he ascended the stairs back to the house proper, how Gwen's teal eyes might light upon seeing the necklace for whatever reason he could see it. But Azrael tucked away the thought, consciously erasing the slight smile it brought to his face, buried the image down deep where it glowed quietly, a thing of secret, lovely beauty.
Wow! Just pin it all. Pin it all.
Secret lovely beauty. What?
Huh?
Who?
Also, that it buried the image down deep.
Glowed quietly.
Glowed quietly. He buried it down deep. That, for me, is so telling that he's like, I'm going to just hold this little nugget of this glowing beauty inside me that keeps me warm and happy.
And glowing is like every single mating bond.
Yep.
Every single one. Threads of gold that glowed.
So much glowing.
And then with Rhysand and Feyre, she literally glows, which is like the decor, but still, she's glowing.
Right.
Yes, so much glowing.
Uh-huh.
And this whole thing for the light singer theory that's going to be coming soon.
Interesting. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Doesn't he, Christina, can you remind me the secret lovely beauty?
It's the way the necklace is described at the beginning.
But then now he's using it to describe Gwen.
Gwen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, he goes to the library at 7 p.m. What time does Gwen sing? 7 p.m. The bell tolls 7 times when Nesta goes to listen to her.
Oh, interesting.
He is drawn there at 7, and we know that she sings at 7.
Yes.
Oh, that's such a great call out. I did not pick up on that. Wow.
A very specific number.
It surely is.
Okay, guys. Well, that is our chat on the Azrael bonus chapter. So much fun.
Give us all of your thoughts.
All of the thoughts. It makes me so excited.
Absolutely.
All right, listeners. Well, cheers and happy reading.
See you next time.
Bye.
Well, friends, that wraps up another episode of Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to join our book club community on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, where you can share your thoughts, theories, and favorite moments with us and fellow listeners. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us spread the magic of romanticy to even more book lovers. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep reading, and remember, every good story deserves to take flight.